You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hey, kids. How many kids are listening during the day? But probably a few out there. Become a junior backer.
Go to school.
Yeah. Stay in school, but also become a junior backer while you're in school. And join the official kids club of the Cleveland Browns. Your membership includes an exclusive fan page. To become a junior backer, call 440-891-5163. That's 440-891-5163. Or visit clevelandbrowns.com for more info. So maybe we're talking to the parents of those kids, the guardians.
That's right.
Of the youths of our country. All right, it's Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford, Vic Carucci, Nathan Nate Dog Zagura. We are here with you, and we are breaking down this Browns team, this latest news, of course, being Jimmy Haslam's open letter to fans. A lot of reaction to that all over social media. We'll get into some of that a little bit later at Browns underscore Daily. We will give you that response to it, but also your calls, and we've got more of those, by the way, 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. Pete and Avon joins us now. Hello, Pete.
Avon.
What's up?
Hello. Hey, first I'd like to give you guys the biggest props and credit for actually talking sports. It's been a long time since I've really heard sports other than from you guys.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
But other than the Haslam, I can't give him any credit. I don't care about a billionaire sitting in his box crying and weeping and how he looks to other team owners. Take a look at what he did. Who did they give? They set Chutt up to fail. You take a look back a few months ago, and we win a couple games, and people are talking playoffs and hooting and hollering. Yes. Hoyer gets hurt. They knew all they had was Whedon and Campbell. What did the front office do to give Chutt help? They did nothing. They knew Whedon was what Whedon was, and they knew Campbell was what Campbell was. They did nothing. And then we're supposed to, you know, take this letter that, you know, we're going to do this and we're doing it right. They didn't do it right, according to them, last year. I personally think Chutt got the rawest dealer deal a coach has ever gotten. I think he was set up to fail from day one as a scapegoat.
So you think a team with five All-Pros, 4-12 is an acceptable record, and that's not the fault in any way, shape, or form of the coaching? I would say that at some point it has to be, right? Every other team that had at least three All-Pros was in the playoffs. The Browns had more All-Pros than they had wins. They had opportunities to win games. I think there were questionable decisions made at the end of first halves in multiple games. I think Jacksonville and the Jets game in particular stand out to me, where the Browns gave up points at the end of the first half. They did not need to give up. I think, do I believe ultimately that Rob Chudzinski, we will ever know whether or not he was going to be successful here or become a good head coach here? No, I don't think so. I think that that tenure ended before the true answers to those questions could be revealed. But clearly those making the decisions felt that they'd seen enough to know that he was not the guy that was going to take this team where they want to get, which is to a Super Bowl.
There are two ways to look, or at least I've chosen to look at the handling of Rob Chudzinski. There's a conventional way that guides, I think, the feelings of this last caller, which is give a guy a chance, a first-year head coach not working with the best of talent, which was something that was understood, especially from the quarterback position from the very beginning, and let it play out. Let him get his legs under him, let his program take hold, let him get to know the players he's coaching, figure out what he needs to do. And if you've talked with coaches who've had multiple years, they can tell you and chart that growth process. I heard it from Mike Tomlin. I've heard it from any number of people with whom I'm close in analyzing their programs and getting their perspective on where the development and how the development happens. That all said, the analysis that this team made, and it definitely was not the typical course to give a guy only one season when you were presuming he was part of this long-term building process, that you thought about it not only in terms of the type of players they brought in, younger roster, etc., but also a coaching staff that would grow with that team. We were under that assumption, all of us. So it was a surprise from that standpoint. The part that we really don't know, and I don't know that we'll ever get a true feel for, is the detailed analysis that went into the decision to fire him. You've highlighted some points of regression, areas on the team that didn't show growth improvement that showed the opposite of that. And it was at that level that the people, Jimmy Haslam, Joe Banner, making their assessments of what this team needed to lead it from a coaching standpoint, made the assessment that the wrong guy was doing it. Yes, it was their self-admission. They admitted that they got it wrong by doing this, which means this is the part that I think is more embraceable than you think. It means you're putting yourself, you're holding yourself, your own feet to the fire, especially, well, the owner to those who work for the owner. The owner isn't firing himself here, but those who work for him are in a position now where this is it. Yes, this hire has to be the hire that works, or someone else is filling their offices beginning as soon as the end of this coming 2014 season. And who knows, maybe sooner. I don't know how Jimmy Haslam will proceed with that, but we talk about that level of anger and concern, and you said that you kind of described that as somewhat like a crocodile tear description. But no, I really think there's legitimate emotionally driven rage and feeling about how this thing has gone, but I hope this is not the case. I can't speak precisely to tell you I know this to be a fact. I don't think it was knee-jerk emotional reaction, which is what you could conclude with an 11-month run for a head coach. I think there was more thinking behind it, more depth to it in their assessment. This organization, remember, is huge on analytics. They study numbers and numbers inside the numbers, and all of those things drive a lot of what's done on the field and what's done in the business side of this operation. So from that standpoint, I'm trusting that they did put thought into it, that they have taken a huge risk, because now you always got to get it right, but it's more important than ever that you cannot screw this up, because you never get more than two kicks at the coaching can from the hiring standpoint.
And not only that, they paid a big price literally to make this decision. So yes, a lot went into it here. Obviously, the letter from Jimmy Haslam to the fans, which again is available at clevelandbrowns.com. Feel free to go and check that out. As we listen here, we also want to hear from you, and you guys are calling up, so hour number two, we'll have some more calls. We will get into our tight end position review in hour number two. Gerard Cherry will join us in hour number two. So still lots to get to as we roll on here with Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.